It's called Youth Week, but it's Jesus Week. We're here for Jesus. And while I do have a message for the youth gathered here today, it is for the whole church. Do not exclude yourself because you are no longer a senior. Do not exclude yourself because you think this isn't for you. The fact that you are here means that Jesus has called you into this building because he wants to speak to you today. This year's title was chosen specifically to have an emphasis on learning about brokenness. This is not a doom and gloom sermon, but rather an explanation on a topic that hasn't been talked about very much. But it is as important as the armor of God, the fruit of the Spirit, and many of the other apostolic principles that we talk about. See, God's school of brokenness focuses on healing, focuses on restoration. But really what it focuses on is being broken. Doesn't matter if you've been broken by life or broken by temptation and sin, or that you feel like you're waiting to be whole, to be used by Jesus in his kingdom. Broken University has a class for everyone. The backdrop on the title screen that we've shown in promos was specifically chosen. It's Oxford University, the Oxford Camera. And at Oxford, well, they do have lecture halls and big groups like this. What really makes the Oxford education unique is something called tutorials. In these tutorials, you get to sit one-on-one with a professor or a scholar and learn directly from them. Jesus is the only professor at Broken University. And while he might speak to your hearts in large gatherings like this, where the most education and the most growth is going to happen for you is when you get one-on-one with him. You can glean stuff from these lecture halls. You can glean stuff from coming to church. But really, if you want what God has for you, what Jesus has for your life in learning how to be broken, it's going to have to come in that one-on-one time where you cry out in your prayer closet, God, I don't understand. Jesus, I don't know why. Jesus, I need help. I have three scriptures for my opening text. First is 2 Samuel 4:4. Jonathan, the son of Saul, had a son who was crippled in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And as she fled, in her haste, he fell and became lame. Couldn't walk. And his name was Mephibosheth. Judges 16, 28 through 30. And then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me only this once, O God, that I might be avenged on the Philistines from my two eyes. And Samson, in the middle of two pillars on which the whole house rested, he leaned his weight against them, his right hand and his left hand. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed with all of his strength, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he killed during his life. The last verse that we're going to talk about is in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 12:7 through 9. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, in brokenness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness or my brokenness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. First one I want to talk about, the first brokenness that I want to talk about in 2 Samuel, Mephibosheth. See, Mephibosheth didn't ask to be broken. He was a little baby, and his nurse picked him up and ran, and maybe she tripped out the door, but she dropped him, and he was damaged. He was broken by his surroundings. A little baby that couldn't even walk for himself. Life handed him an ugly deck of cards. He was damaged by his surroundings. Now, we know life isn't fair. Life isn't fair, but what might not be at the forefront of our mind is how unkind life can be sometimes. It's okay to say life is unfair when it's a nebulous topic, when it's out there, when it's happening to other people. But when it strikes you at the core of where you live, something completely out of your control comes out of the blue and wrecks your world. Makes you lame. Sometimes life can break you to the point where you don't see a way through. And none of it is your fault. Broken families, abusive relationships, deaths, a series of evil circumstances that you had no control over leave you broken, in pieces, wondering, what's the point? See, our lives, we have them together. Everyone expects to go through life unbroken. Not have anything bad happen to us. Like this bowl. But unfortunately, due to life circumstances and life just being life, not even our own fault, we get handed a really foul hand. And while we're going through life, doing life things, sometimes life has a way of hurting. Sometimes life has a way of breaking us into pieces. And all we're left with is broken pottery. I didn't ask for this. I didn't want this. I was fine. God, why have you handed me this brokenness? Why in the world would you allow life to be so cruel? I was doing fine. I was doing my job. I was attending church. Or maybe I was so young that the brokenness that happened to me, I had no control over. And I have to go through life, not even getting a chance to be a bowl, but ending up as pieces before I even knew what life really was. How could God use this? Can't eat soup or cereal or really put anything in this. This is meant for the garbage. How could God use a broken vessel? And God, why would you allow it to take place? The truth is, we don't know why these things happen. These sentinel events in our life that galvanize us and change us as a person. They adjust your course so radically that they reshape your identity. And I understand that as a teenager, you're looking for your own identity. You're looking for that piece of uniqueness to set you apart from the next person. How will they know that I'm different? What is my character trait? What is it, that thing that gives me the aura? I don't want it to be brokenness. I don't want people to see my pieces. And God, just seemingly without knowing or without even caring, allows it to happen. Psalm 147, verse 3 says that he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. I'm here to tell you tonight, if you are holding broken pieces of your life in your hands, that Jesus is here to mend and to restore. And around this time, someone would say, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. Everything will be fine in the end. While that verse and that promise is true, it has a very, very easy way of skipping over that healing process and going straight to the result. Not realizing that there are scars that are left behind and there is tissue that needs to be knitted together and there are still pieces that are broken in your life. Being broken by life hurts. Trying to look towards that end, that fuzzy end, that cloudy end of what is this all going to look like at the end? finished product. It's really hard to imagine when you're laying in a trash bag of broken pottery. I'm here to tell you that your story isn't over. I'm here to tell you that sometimes that anointing in the alabaster box, it needs to be broken for God to get at it. I know it's painful, and I know it's easy for me to say from up here, not sitting where you are, but sometimes nets have to be broken in order for them to be mended to hold the catch that is coming. Sometimes the brokenness is needed in God's plan. Do I understand it? No, I don't. But I know a story mender. I know a net mender. It hurts. And like I said, that healing process is going to leave scars. Scars that sometimes people can see, but a lot of the times it's scars that people can't see, that you keep hidden inside. We must remember that if you allow your broken pottery to be in the master's hands, he is the one repairing, crafting, and creating. He is the one mending it together. Jesus is the only one that can heal and bind up our wounds. I know the importance of counselors. I know the importance of talking to friends. I know the importance of talking to godly leaders. But the only person that can mend your story and put your pieces back together, hear me tonight, young people, it is not a person, but it is a God who has you in his hands and says that I still love you and you're not broken to me. Will you trust me with your pieces? Will you trust me with your broken pottery? We like to dull the pain. We like to find escapisms and escape into social activities. We escape into movies. We escape into video games. Some of us escape into reading. We like to dull the pain and push the morphine button as much as we can because we don't want to face the broken pottery and it'll be good enough. But these are just debts that we pay, adding to a bill that we must eventually settle. When you try and use your own glue and your own escapism to try and band-aid and put your pottery together, it's going to turn out to be a product that could be worse than the original. You could break more pieces. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7 says, "So be truly glad that there is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong enough, or strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." While I understand that it might be difficult to endure the persecutions and the twists and turns that life has handed your way, it is intended to purify and to distill your motives. What is really driving you? Job is a man that really had the book thrown at him, didn't ask for any of it. In fact, he was a man that was perfect in the eyes of God, lived his life, made sacrifices for his children, paid his tithes, showed up to church on time, prayed every morning and night, read his Bible, stayed on his bread program, and yet the Lord saw fit to allow the devil almost unlimited access to break his life into pieces and shatter him. And Job, while he was sitting with all of his possessions lost, with his family destroyed, scraping boils off of him while he sat in a pit of ash, was able to see through it enough to say, "But he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I will come forth as gold." This is a man not at the end of the trial. This is a man not seeing where God has taken him, but this is a man in the midst of the suffering, crying out, "God, why have you done this? I don't know why, but you know the path that I'm taking. You know where I am right now. You know the next step that I'm going to take. And you know what the story is when everything is done and finished." For those going through that real trial right now, in desperate need of a divine healing. I encourage you, don't just sit in the lecture hall, but read all of Job 23. It's only 17 verses. But it's the cry of a man who has been broken by life, but knows that there is a God who still cares for him. Who knows that there is a God who sees him in his broken pile. You know, it's interesting. Job never found out why God let the devil afflict him. You may never find out the reason why you had to go through what you had to go through. But rest assured, if you are still in the master's hands, if you are still trusting in the potter's hands, he is recreating you from the pieces. It might be a little painful. In order to restore pottery, sometimes you have to grind down the pieces to powder. You need to add a little adhesive, mix it with some water to create something. Even the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept, is a single solitary statement of how the Creator of heaven and earth still experienced grief and brokenness. We need to feel that we can grieve. But grieving cannot become our identity. There is a Japanese art called Kintsugi, where broken pottery is knit together with gold. It is done by master craftsmen. This was done by me at my kitchen table. And while it might look pretty from your perspective, I am not a master craftsman, and you can see all the glue lines. But what this style of pottery shows is the brokenness has become its story and has made it unique. And it is more beautiful than a simple white bowl. The brokenness has been in the hands of the master craftsman, and he has said, I know where you're at, and I'm joining your pieces together. And I am making you whole and making you into something beautiful and making you into something unique. Do you trust me with your pieces? Do you trust me in the process? Are you willing to surrender? Are you willing to stay in this class of brokenness? Listen to me, young people. Brokenness may have started your story, but it does not have the right to finish it. My Bible says that my Jesus is the author and the finisher of my faith. Your story might have started with tragedy. It might be punctuated with hurt and brokenness, but that is not how you were meant to end up. Romans 8, 28 and 7 talks about, and he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those that are called according to his purpose. If you want that applied to you, there is some subtle attributes. It says for those who love God, if you want your story to end up being beautiful and re-knit together, there needs to be a dependence upon the Creator, upon that person, that Jesus who is knitting your life together with you being in the palm of his hands. Listen, we are not broken victims, but we are being made into victors through him. We must give the pieces back into the master's hands. However painful that might be to give up and to surrender control, trust me, he can restore you to something better that you can be. He knows where you are. And he knows what he wants to make you. Another topic of brokenness is being broken but working in a promise. In Judges, we talked about Samson. Samson is a man with a call of God on his life. He said, I'm giving you supernatural strength to be a judge over Israel, to free them, to set them free. He made some wrong turns. He got sidetracked by the lust of the flesh. Sometimes we do things to ourselves. We get trapped in temptation, pride of life, comfortability, complacency. You may have been broken with things that you have done or haven't done or sin, but God still has a mission for you. I'm not talking about the finished product. See, this is an X-Wing, a Lego X-Wing. It's not finished. Does anyone want this X-Wing? Too bad. But there were a bunch of hands. Why would you want a broken X-Wing? It's not finished. Lego. Because there's potential in it. This is not useless or broken. An unfinished Lego is still useful. It depends on your direction, not your disposition. If I were to give up and no one would build this Lego again, it would be useless. But my direction is to finish this Lego. You can still live in promise and be used by God while being healed. God sees us and wants to use us before we think that we're ready. You're able to walk in this promise. For those struggling in sin, temptation, doubt, you feel like you've missed God's plan A for your life. When you change your direction, when you surrender the pieces to Him, when you give Him the box, He can work through it and accomplish things that you thought were gone. Joel 2:25-26 says, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, the cutter, the great army, or my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat plenty and be satisfied. Praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame again. God can take your broken Lego and can build it faster than you think, or make something even better. The Bible is full of stories where someone was found in the wrong disposition, the wrong situation, but willing to repent and turn their direction around. Gideon was a coward that was found hiding in a wine press, making flour when God commissioned him to be a judge and a war hero driving out the Midianites. And they were not called Midianites because they were mid. But God used him where he was at because he was willing to have a change in direction. He was willing to follow the instructions that God laid out. It is going to cost something. Joshua, a nobody, the son of Nun, first mentioned as a man of war, then a spy, then eventually chosen to lead Israel into the promised land. It doesn't matter what he was doing at the time. The man of God said, or God told him, I have a mission for you, and he just said yes. He said yes. War? Yes. Spying? Yes. Leading? Yes, but I need some encouragement. That's okay. God's got you. David had a pride problem. He had an adultery problem. He had a murder problem. He had a deceit problem. He had a passivity problem. He had murder within his own family. He had an illegal census. He ignored God's orders on how to move the ark. He had multiple wives. But Acts 13:22 describes him as a man after God's own heart. How? Because he was a broken man with a heart characterized by deep trust, genuine repentance, a heart for worship, and a desire to obey. Samson was still able to walk in the promise, even though his vow was gone, his body was broken, his eyes were missing. And you can walk in the promise that God has for you where you're at, but it depends on your direction. If you continue down the path that you are walking, God cannot use you in promise. But once you decide to turn and start heading a direction, then he can use you. Does anyone know the first evangelist or missionary? This is up to interpretation. Luke 8:27-31. I'm going to summarize the story, but essentially it was a demoniac, a demon-possessed man. Jesus went to him. He was wearing no clothes, covered in chains, laying out in tombs. Speeding up the story, God asked all the legions and the demons to come out of him. God gave him a Bible study and then said, go and tell everyone else what just happened. Even 6,000 demons could not keep him from being delivered as long as he put his mind to seeking Jesus. God used a retired demoniac with a Bible study to be the first evangelist. Don't tell me that God can't use you where you're at right now. If you surrender your pieces and you change your direction, God can use you wherever you're at. And I just want to point out this one very interesting, awesome thing. In our fireside chat, we talked about rolling with the will of God. God uses youth. God used 12 young adults and teenagers with sin and stinky careers to change the world. He used you. I'm not saying he can't use adults, but the emphasis is placed upon you. Last class that I want to teach about in Broken University is about being broken. God will teach you brokenness. It's not glamorous and it's not pretty. But he will not break you completely. Pastor Sandin talked about earlier this week about a bruised rod. He will not break. This story is the hardest to stomach. Jesus healing your story has a happy ending. Repenting and living in a life of promise is a good thing. But remaining broken, not as fun. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10 talked about, so keep me from becoming conceited and the surpassing greatness of revelations. Paul was given a thorn in the flesh to buffet him. And he asked God, will you make this thorn leave? We don't know if it was a limp. We don't know if it was indigestion. We don't know if it was a heart problem. We don't know if he was missing. We don't know what the thorn in the flesh was. But he wanted it to leave, and he prayed for it to leave. But we must remain broken in order to properly serve, to love, and to praise. See, inviting praise is great when it's expected. When you come here to a worship service and things are great and you're looking your best for church, this is when praise is expected. It's easy. But praising when there is suffering is hard. When things aren't fair, when they don't make sense, that is when praise is most powerful. When you don't have a reason to praise, and yet you still praise. There's a quick story about Cuthbert. Cuthbert, along with Virginia Hall, received a Distinguished Service Cross as an honorary member the Order of the British Empire. He received another prominent French award, and his name has been included on the OSS Congressional Gold Medal in 2018. Cuthbert helped Virginia Hall escape France through the Pyrenees Mountains. Cuthbert and Virginia actually became acquainted in 1933 when a hunting accident caused Virginia to lose her leg below her knee. And her left leg was replaced by Cuthbert. Cuthbert is a prosthetic leg. Her physical disability that had prevented her from seeking a diplomatic career was the very defining characteristic that made her America's most effective spy in World War II. Her brokenness actually became her strength. The Germans didn't suspect a one-legged woman to be a spy, but she was. We might still want to be whole and totally put together, but that will not happen on this side of eternity. It is not the correct perspective to have on this side of eternity. We must learn brokenness. In Luke 20, 17 through 18, and he beheld them and said, What is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. But whosoever falls upon that stone shall be broken. But whomever it shall fall upon, it will grind him to powder. We must remain broken and dependent upon God in order to have that deeper relationship and understanding. Rejecting this breaking process will only turn out worse for you in the long run as we make ourselves an enemy of Jesus. We see this principle around us everywhere, that horses must be broken in order to be a good horse, that gold and precious metals must be refined in order to be useful, that muscles must be stretched and broken in order to recover and become stronger, that grapes and tomatoes often provide higher quality fruit when water is limited. Lavender and rosemary develop stronger aromas in dry and rocky soil. Prairie wildflowers flourish after fires. And the sequoia teaches us that some growth only begins to happen after a fire. It's easy to choose a life of holiness and righteousness when you're safe here in church for 2 hours. But what about when you're out there, when you're broken, and the master let it happen, and now he's not going to fix it? This is a ball of clay. When God calls you to do something, it's not going to be difficult. Difficult you can do. You can overcome difficult. It's going to be impossible. But impossible is where God starts. He wants you to cast yourself relentlessly upon him. We can visibly see Paul's descent into brokenness. 1 Corinthians 15 and 9. I am the least of the apostles. He's still an apostle. It's pretty cool. I'm not an apostle. He's the least of the apostles. Further on in the story of Ephesians, he's referenced as the least of the saints. Still a saint. That's pretty cool. And then in 1 Timothy 1 and 15, he is described as the greatest of sinners. We can see that even Paul had to go through a breaking process. It doesn't make sense. We personally are broken and shattered, but God is doing stuff through us. But we are continuing to become broken, but he's still doing greater things. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 and 10. I'm going to skip down to verse 9. But he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What is God asking for in your brokenness? What are you still holding on to? What weights do you think you're better off carrying than surrendering to him? Moses didn't have a scepter anymore. He had to carry a stick. The widow didn't have riches. She just had some oil and some meal that God didn't let run dry. Jacob had one encounter with God, and he was left with a limp for the rest of his life. Mary had a jar filled with filled with precious oil. And we talk about the uplifting story where she anointed Jesus. But we must realize that the breaking of the neck of that alabaster jar represents a sacrifice that cannot be taken back. Psalms 51, 16 and 17. This is David in a cry of repentance. Talks about, well, you will not delight in sacrifice and things that I can do and me showing up to church on time. Or I would give it. You will not be pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God. You will not despise. In James, it talks about counting it all joy. The testing of your faith brings forth steadfastness. Uses the word perfect. The word perfect can be translated into what is actually mature. The measure of a mature Christian in a mature relationship is brokenness. And that is what an enemy fears the most, is a Christian that is broken. We must remain broken. We must remain reliant. I don't think Josh is in here. Is Josh in here? Robbie, come here. It was a couple years ago, thankfully, that I had a bulged disc in my back, and Josh came and helped me from the couch to the kitchen table because I couldn't walk. I couldn't. I had to completely rely on him to get me to where I was going. Start walking. I couldn't walk with my own legs because my back hurt. But upon resting and relying and leaning everything that I had on Josh, I could get to my kitchen table. It might not look pretty. It might not be what Robbie had signed up for today, and it certainly was a little embarrassing for me. But listen to me, I got to my kitchen table, and being broken and being reliant, I was able to get where I needed to go, and that's where we need to be. It's a silly example, but we need to be broken to the point where everything we do depends upon what Jesus has for us. Our goal is to be clay, to be unfinished, unpleasant to touch, and doesn't look like much. But in the Master's hands, He can make you into whatever He needs you to be. If He needs a cup, if He needs a bowl, if He needs a vase, if He needs someone to pour into or someone to pour out, being broken, that's where we need to be. Matthew talks about taking my yoke upon you, God's yoke, learning from me. I'm humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. Let's all stand. Understand that Jesus is the only professor, because He's the only one with all authority on being broken. There is nothing that you have done that Jesus didn't die for. There is no sin that you could come up with that is too big. There is nothing too broken that He cannot mend. Jesus is the ultimate professor on brokenness, because His body was broken for each and every one of us here in this room. His blood was spilled out for each and every one of you, but He still had scars. He still had scars that told the story. And in Revelation, it talks about the brokenness between you and Him. And they have conquered Him by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus' brokenness, and by the word of your testimony. Or their testimony. Your testimony should be brokenness. It's not fun. It's not glamorous. It's not a hoot and holler in sermon for Youth Week. But it's important, and listen to what I'm saying. Remaining broken in His hands is the safest place for you to be. Not having it all together is the safest place for you to be. Not knowing what to say and how to say it is the safest place for you to be. I want the youth to all come to the altar. This front part is what we call the altar. I don't want there to be a stigma of who's coming first and who's not. We all need to learn brokenness. To rely on Him. Not to put you together and make you perfect, but to remain broken. The more broken you are, the more that He can use. God doesn't want you to suffer and to be in pain, but He wants to be able to use you for His kingdom. If your goal is a perfect life in the pursuit of happiness, and I'm just going to patch my life together, it's not going to be what it could be. I don't want you to waste this chance. Pour out your brokenness to your healer and let Him mend your story. To come repent, to change directions, to start living in the promise that He has for you. I want you to come and spend time in brokenness and rely on Him. Trust in Him. Have faith in Him. Take some time and pray. Have a good conversation with Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.